Composer and singer Caetano Veloso is a star in Brazil and has quite a following in the U.S. Along with Gilberto Gil, Veloso is one of the originators of the music known as Tropicália or Tropicalismo. This music came on the heels of bossa nova in the late 60s and combined Brazilian traditions with rock, pop, and avant-garde poetry and embraced elements of 60s counterculture. Many of Veloso's fellow college students condemned the music for commercializing Brazilian sounds. The Brazilian military dictatorship hated the freedom the music represented. Veloso and Gil were imprisoned for several weeks in 1968. Veloso's memoir, Tropical Truth, A Story of Music and Revolution in Brazil, has just been published in English. His music is on the soundtrack of Pedro Almodovar's new film, and Veloso has a new CD called Live from Bahia. Let's start with a track from it called Menino do Rio, The Boy from Rio.
Menino do Rio, calor que provoca arrepio, dragão tatuado no braço, calção, corpo aberto no espaço, coração de eterno flerte, adoro ver. Menino vadio, tensão flutuante do rio, eu canto pra Deus proteger-te. O Havaí, seja aqui tudo que sonharia, todos os lugares, as ondas dos mares, pois quando eu te vejo, eu desejo teu desejo.
Caetano Veloso was born in 1942. When he was 17, he heard Brazilian songwriter João Gilberto, one of the originators of the bossa nova. In his memoir, Veloso describes Gilberto as his supreme master. I asked Veloso to describe the impact Gilberto's music had on him.
I was living in Santo Amaro, my little hometown, and I was at high school, and when I heard it for the first time, I thought that a new world was opening before me, a new world of songs, a new world of sensibility, a new world of possibilities, and also of responsibilities. I was 17, but I understood that what João Gilberto was doing to samba, to the Brazilian tradition of popular music, was really illuminating the past and opening new tasks for the future. And I still try to live up to it.
Now, you were one of the people who took music in a slightly different direction, something that's been called Tropicália or Tropicalismo. Forgive my pronunciations.
It's perfect now.
So where did you differ? What did you want in your music that was kind of frowned on?
What we did was different because we didn't want to be defensive in that nationalistic fashion that everybody was following, you know. We, in fact, faced opposition from the left. Left-wing students would be hostile to everything we did in 1967 through 68. And because we accepted international influences, we considered that the presence of American mass culture was something that was part of our lives and that we should be able to express ourselves using some procedures that we learned from rock and roll and American pop culture. And on the other hand, we didn't think that the traditional protest song was our better vehicle to express what we felt under a dictatorship and in those times of counterculture.
So if you heard the Beatles or Ray Charles, you weren't going to just see that as imperialistic influences from England or America. You're going to see that as good music, and if that influenced you, fine.
Well, yeah. You know, it's true. But, you know, even the Beatles, in our view, even then, they were an example that mass culture could be healthy, could be a healthy influence. You know, we had noticed that because before that we were not, my group of friends, we were not interested in rock and roll. It was just, you know, things, rock and roll was something that we could hear on the radio. We could even learn how to sing short lyrics and, you know, but we didn't think it was an important thing in any way. It was just commercial rubbish, you know. But what the Beatles did, they made a shift in considering the status of rock and roll. And we ourselves wanted to do the same in Brazil.
I'm wondering if there's a song on your new live CD that is a song that you wrote in the 60s and were doing during the period that we're talking about now.
The song Tropicália itself, isn't it? I think it's representative of the period. In fact, it's an emblem of the period.
In what sense?
Because this song, Tropicália, gave name to the movement. From its title, the name of the movement was born. And it is a song that says, that portrays Brazil in a strange way. It's an allegoric portrait of Brazil with violent images, and it's a little bit like a cubist painting because it's seen from different angles and from different perspectives.
Why don't I just read a little bit of the English translation before we hear the recording? Above my head, the aeroplanes, under my feet, the trucks and trains. My nose in profile against the highland plains. I organize the movement. I lead the carnival. I inaugurate the monument on the central plateau of the nation. Long live Bossa Nova. Long live Paloca. The monument is silver crepe paper, the green eyes of the mulatta. In the green forest, her hair veils the black, the backlands moonlight. The monument has no door. The entrance is an old, narrow, winding road, etc.
Well, and then comes the image of a dead child that I don't remember. It's a very, if you read just two,
yeah, and
more
on, and on its
lines,
knee, a smiling, ugly, dead child holds out its hand. Long live the matata, long live the mulata, and so on.
So some, you know, really some violent images, and it's a celebration of Brazil. But it's a sinister celebration, you know. It's a parody of a celebration. But on the other hand, it celebrates Brazil, in fact, although it recognizes its violence, injustice, and somber moments, because we were then under dictatorship, and I wanted to express the deepest feelings that arose in those circumstances.
My guest is Brazilian singer, songwriter, and guitarist Caetano Veloso. Here's his 1967 recording of Tropicália.
Sobre a cabeça os aviões, sobre os meus pés os caminhões, aponta contra os chapadões meu nariz. Eu organizo o movimento, eu oriento o carnaval, eu inauguro o monumento no planalto central do país. Viva a bossa, sa, sa, viva a palhoça, sa, 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 sa. Viva a bossa, sa, sa, viva a palhoça, sa, 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 sa. O monumento caneta de papel crepom e prata, os olhos verdes da mulata, a cabeleira esconde atrás da verde mata, o luar do sertão. O monumento não tem porta, a entrada é uma rua antiga, estreita e torta, e no joelho uma criança sorridente, feia e morta, estende a mão. Viva a mata, ta, ta, viva a mulata, ta, 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 ta. Viva a mata, ta, ta, viva a mulata, ta, 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 ta.
Caetano Veloso will be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Brazilian songwriter and singer Caetano Veloso, one of the originators of the music known as Tropicália or Tropicalismo. He was imprisoned by Brazil's military dictatorship for several weeks. You write in your new book, Tropical Truth, that when you were arrested in 1968 by the military government, you didn't expect that anything really bad was going to happen to you. You say, we were so used to the hostilities of the left, so often accused of being alienated and Americanized, that when you saw yourself before the policeman, you imagined they were going to take you to talk to some official who would treat you like your average young guy who's only interested in amusing the public, your average entertainer. So you really weren't prepared for being arrested, for put in solitary confinement, for being beaten, all the things that you were actually exposed to.
No, we weren't. We didn't expect, and we were not prepared. Mostly me. I wasn't. I almost went crazy, you know. It was really hard. But it's true. We were not prepared to that. Because, as I told you, left-wing students would react against our music, so we thought that the military would not think of us as being, you know,
a threat. So, why do you think the military did see you as a threat? What were they afraid of with your music?
There were people within the military that knew and understood the connections between what we were doing. And, for example, May 68 in Paris, or American protest against Vietnam War, and, you know, the California things. Some people knew. Some of the military guys knew that what we were doing might mean some kind of new left, you know, a different kind of left. We ourselves thought of what we were doing as being some kind of new left, in a way. And the authorities were kind of advised by some who knew that what we were doing was somehow, you know, dangerous, because it could be, could destabilize the psychology of the youth, you know. It could damage their values, you know. Some of them knew.
It's interesting that during this time in the 60s, when music becomes so politically charged in Brazil, and when you and others are arrested because of your music, in America, what's mostly known about Brazilian music in the 60s is the samba, which is considered to be a very kind of gentle, relaxing music with lyrics about love and beauty and, you know, gentle waves on the ocean and things like that. So what did you think then of the American understanding of what Brazilian music was?
Well, it was mostly bossa nova. You know, bossa nova was something that happened in the 50s in Brazil. 1958, João Gilberto recorded his first single. So, and in 59, it was like established in Brazil. So, in the mid-60s, everybody in the United States knew Sérgio Mendes better than anything else from Brazil. Apart from João Gilberto and Astrud Gilberto singing The Girl from Ipanema, but that was delayed to what was happening in Brazil, you know? And, well, after that, even those people who started writing bossa nova with predominantly love songs, they started writing protest songs. You know, the very most important lyricist of bossa nova, Vinicius de Moraes, who was a poet, he was the first modern protest songwriter in Brazil. You know, he started writing protest songs in the early 60s. And so did Carlos Lira and some other people who were the pioneers of bossa nova, you know. But these Brazilian protest songs would sound to any American ear as sweet as any other love song, you know.
Because we wouldn't understand the lyric?
Because you don't understand the lyric, and because Brazilian music tends to sound sweet in any way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they already, you know, had entire albums of just protest songs, you know. Samba as being the basic rhythm, but the words would be a protest against social injustice and against dictatorship, although not explicitly saying things about the dictatorship, but it was obviously against it. And things that were said both about against a social injustice and suggestions of revolution or change in society, these things were clearly explicit in the lyrics of the songs of that time, of that period.
Now, how would you compare the kind of music that you're writing and performing now with what you were doing in the 60s in Brazil when your music was so controversial?
I don't know if I'm able to compare what I do now to what I used to do then. But I'd say nowadays I know better. Like, I can make things in a better way. Things are better done. This is for sure. Better recorded, better tuning, better everything. But on the other hand, I was younger.
Caetano Veloso, he has a new CD called Live from Bahia. His memoir, Tropical Truth, has just been published in English.